The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of December, 2025, and you are on the clock with today. I am Corinne Mitchell, Una Hasty, Leela Green, Corey Green, Helen Mitchell. I am the most industrious women that I know. Kenris Carey, Cheryl Carey, Audrey DeVoe, Joycelyn Frey, like the most industrious, that's who I is today. Welcome to On the Clock on Tuesday, the 2nd of December, 2025. We're going to get the show running. I got a guest in studio. We got a quick conversation, and then we're going to delve into our conversation. The Cambridge Dictionary Word of the Year, parasocial, celebrity culture, populism, and personality politics. We're taking a dive into that after this first segment. Now, the reason why I am what I consider the best of me is because I've got Mr. Edison Sumner joining us this morning from the Productivity Task Force. Good morning, sir. I see we're waiting for the Zoom room.
Good morning. Just trying to find this unmute button.
There
How
we
are you
go.
Doing?
I'm good, thank you, sir. So yesterday I saw a flyer promoting the Productivity Task Force survey. And I wanted to take an opportunity to properly identify the survey, let people know where they can find it, how they should fill it out, why it's important to fill it out, what are the intended outcomes from the survey, and what's the next steps for the National Productivity Task Force?
All right. Well, thank you very much, Erin, for the invitation to be on your show this morning. I think it's an informative discussion that we are having about national productivity across the board. So just to give you a very, very brief background so that people get an appreciation for why we issued the survey. The National Productivity Task Force is a group of largely a tripartite type group, a task force that was assembled by the government. Our role is to do all the necessary work, lay the groundwork, prepare the infrastructure and the baselines for the introduction of the country's first National Productivity, Innovation, and Competitiveness Council. That we hope to see come on stream by mid next year. Our role is to, like I said, lay the groundwork, the foundation for this council to come into force. And that includes also looking at drafting legislation for its statutory establishment in law. A part of what we're doing as a task force is that we have several mandates between now and June of next year, one of which is to engage in dialogue and consultations with our stakeholders across government, private sector, labor organizations, academia, TVETs, civil society, and others to gain some input from this community about what they think the Productivity Council ought to be, what they think should be included as part of the priorities for us to consider. In this mandate, how are we to go about it? Who should be included as a part of the council once it's established? How do we measure productivity in the country based on our stakeholders' feedback? So this survey is very, very important. The task force comprises members of the trade unions, represented by people like Darren Woods and Jewel Fountain. It has members from the employee representatives, from the Chamber of Commerce, being the persons of Dr. Leo Roll and Peter Gowdy. We've got a TVET representative there, who's the vice chair for BTVI, Kevin Baston. We've got government representatives there, in the person of the deputy director for labor, Mrs. Patrinda Russell-Bryce, and Mr. Robert Farquharson. And then, of course, I serve as the chair for this task force, and Vincent van der Poel Wallace, whom you would remember as the former minister of tourism, serves as my deputy chair. So the work of this survey was distributed a couple of weeks ago, and it is really asking for the general public, because it has been made public, to respond, right? Let us know what you think about this idea of establishing a productivity council. Let us know what you think we ought to be focusing on as mandates in this survey. Let us know you think should be serving as a part of the council, right? The work of the task force, even though we are well into our mandate, will still be guided by the results of the survey. It would help us with establishing certain baselines. It will help us in determining what the overall mandate of the council ought to be, even though we already have a good idea of what it should be. But we also want to include the views and the expressions of those who form part of our stakeholder groups, and also looking at the responses coming in from the wider community. At the end of the day, these ideas, the results of the survey, will be made public. The survey closes on the 12th of December, which gives us an opportunity, after it closes on the 12th of December, to do the analysis of the survey, prepare the reports coming out of the survey. We do intend to make those reports public. One of the things that I've insisted on as the chair for this task force is that we operate with the highest level of transparency, so that people know what we're doing, how we're going about getting our work done. And after we have completed the work of the survey, analyzing the results, preparing it into a report, which will be presented to the minister responsible for labor and the public service, who has carriage over this task force and the work of the task force, the results will also be incorporated into the workings of the strategic plan that we are currently working on for the council once that's established. That strategic plan, five-year plan, will also include the operations plan for the council. It will include the budget for the council. It will include the staffing requirements for the council, so that when we present this to the government, they will have a very solid baseline from which to operate. The council, once they are established, will have a solid baseline from which to operate, so that they will not have to go through this process again, and they can simply launch from the foundation that we're setting for them now. So the responses are very, very important. So far, we have upwards of 500 responses to the survey, which is a very good number. But we'd like to see that number double, if not triple, between now and the 12th, which is in another week and a half or so. We'd like to see that number at least double, if not higher, so that we can get a good scientific response to the survey, which gives us, again, a good cross-section of responses. So far, we are very thrilled and pleased to see the level of responses coming in from the different segments across our society, both from the public and the private sector. We've already gotten a number of written responses to our questions in the survey, which have been very, very enlightening. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to going through those and peeling all of those details back. We're also looking forward to sharing, like I said, those details with the public once they become available. The idea with this productivity council really is to improve the level of productivity outputs in the country. And that's not only with labor outputs, but we're looking to improve on the level of processes, systems, management, customer relations and service, economic development, and the economic productivity. We're looking to factor in what we call the total factor productivity, which looks not only at labor inputs and outputs, but it looks at our capital, whether it's human capital, the built environment, natural environment. We want to include all of that into our deliberations. And also looking very, very closely, putting a microscope on our education system, right? And not only looking at tertiary and grade school education, but now even pulling it back all the way to preschool education, so that we are sure that we can begin to ingrain a new culture or a different culture of productivity across the country. Mm-hmm. This is very important for us because we know that we've seen some gaps, we've seen some areas that really need to have some very, very focused attention. And it is our hope and mandate that when we're done with the work of the task force, and if we are able to bring the council on board after legislation is passed in Parliament by early next year, we're hoping to have this presented to the minister for our parliamentary review by March of next year. We're hoping that if the legislation passes the test of the law reform and the Attorney General's office and other relevant partners and agents in government, our mandate and part of our work plan, which is a very well-established work plan, is to have the final documents of the reports of the task force, which will include the final drafting of legislation presented to the minister by March. We're hopeful that if that happens, that she's able to take, or the minister, whoever that minister would be, is able to take this document to Parliament by May. And we're hopeful that by June of next year, the legislation would have passed, and that by the 1st of July or so, that the National Productivity, Innovation, and Competitiveness Task Council would be established, named, and staffed. And we, like I said, we have already building a full 5-year strategic plan for their existence as well and operations.
Wow. Okay. Thank you very much. Very informative, full of information. Now, where can we find the survey? And are you employing some of our social media influencers to engage the general public? Like, I could see Stephen Hanna, that's the Shinwin or Alan Molek fan club, or Dasque the Bubbler, or Miss Giggles, or Sawyer Boy. There are a number of new younger influencers, right, that are out there as well. Just to intro the survey to sort of younger and broader audiences on social media platforms.
Actually, I would love for that to happen, Aaron. I know of these personalities. I know that they have a lot of influence with various demographics across the country. We have not engaged them yet, but I would love to engage them in this exercise. Mm-hmm. We do have a social media presence, bearing in mind that we are still very new. We have a staff member now that's been full-time assigned to the task force, so we're grateful for that. We do have a presence on Facebook. We have a presence on Instagram. We want to extend that footprint across social media. So if any of those influencers who you mentioned are listening to me, or if anyone, and even if you know them, Aaron, I'll be pleased if you can even share my number with them. You've got my
yes,
number.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I'd love to engage with them, see how they can assist us in getting this word out. You know, we have a population in the country of, we always knock the number around about 400,000. If we were to get, I know it still sounds ambitious, but we were to get even 1% of the population across this country, which is about 4,000 people, to respond to the survey, we'll be over the moon. If we get 1,000 people to respond to this, we'll be very happy about that. But imagine if we can get even 1% of our total population, including our expat population, because they are exposed to the same kinds of issues that we are when it comes to productivity, process management, and the rest of it in the country. So we'd love to engage them. If you would like to extend my number to them or give me their number to reach out directly, I would love to engage them in helping us get this this message out.
They're calling just a couple of more names. I know we got Chuck Fox in Long Island. We got one guy, I think it's TMI in Eleuthera, right? Like I can reach out to people and connect them with the task force to discuss what opportunities exist. Mr. Nuri?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Sumner. C.A. Nuri here.
Good morning, sir.
Quick question.
Good morning, sir. Good
morning again. You mentioned the dates March and you mentioned the date June. And being political, right, and going into a general election year, and we have a consensus that things tend to be dropped when governments change. I don't know when the general election is, right? But if the general election is before March, if the general election is before June, is there any concern that this program may be dropped? And what are you doing to make sure that something like this is continued beyond politics?
Mr. Leary, thank you. There's always a concern about transitions in politics, right? Transitions in government. And we've seen this happen too many times. As a matter of fact, this very initiative was a victim of that, right? Where we started this work, believe it or not, almost a decade ago. Mm-hmm. And it progressed to a certain point. We were had good traction on it. The initial plan for this was presented to the cabinet of the Bahamas, which was approved. Then we had an election. Government changed and the project got shelved. The government saw the wisdom in putting this back on the agenda. So we're back at it now trying to make this happen. So we've already been through this process. We've been a victim of the transitions in government. What we are hoping to do this time, though, is to engage with the entire political directorate so that whether the current administration is returned or if there's a new administration, we want to be sure that everyone who's involved in politics, even the aspirants, are aware of what we're doing so that, if and when elections are held, nobody really knows. You know, elections are like the second coming of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Only two people know. Mm-hmm. So we have to engage with the entire political directorate to be sure that we get buy-in from them so that, whoever ends up in parliament, whoever ends up in the cabinet, whoever ends up in the administration, will already have had some knowledge about what we're doing. We would get some buy-in from them. So we're hoping over the next several weeks, certainly not before the holidays, because Christmas is coming in a matter of 3 weeks or so. But we do intend to pull full throttle on this in January, where we're going to be engaging extensively with our stakeholders across the country. This is not a Nassau-centric initiative. And we also intend, as a part of that, to engage directly with the political parties. We intend to present this to the government in cabinet via the Minister for Labor. We intend to have conversations with, civil society organizations, academia, youth organizations. We have an entire listing of the stakeholders that we intend to engage with. And it is going to be, a very, very aggressive agenda because we do want to finish this work on consultations by the end of March. No matter what happens with politics, there's ordinarily a pause, but my intention as the chair for this is to continue to drive this process until we are told not to, right? Until we are given a red light to say, put a stop to this, we're gonna continue to drive this. And even if there were to be some significant changes in the administration after the general elections are called, we'll continue to push this agenda until we get a call or a letter or some communication telling us not to do it any further. But this is too important for us to drop. It is too important to become a political tool in any sense of the imagination. So we want to be sure that we can drive this and that this does not again become a victim of our transitions in politics or in governance.
I think that in reading articles in preparation for the discussion, including national study shows employability and GDP as top productivity indicators, that's the Nassau Tribune, 13th of November, and Minister Productivity Must Watch Wage Rises, the frequent reference of the Minister of Labor and Public Service, right? I think a good indicator is that, and I may be incorrect, it appears as if the task force and the program or the portfolio sits within the Ministry of Labor, right, as opposed to the OPM's office. And so I expect a retention of knowledge, right? Like even if the project is temporarily paused, we know that the information gathered and constructed is retained in some way, like you say, to be picked up to continue the work. So when we get back from the break, just a one or two more quick questions, and then I'd let you go. I'm so grateful that you've joined us. You guys, stay tuned. You're on the clock with Una, Corinne, Ona, Helen, Bailey, Mitchell, Powell, Gay Boy, Green. Look here, this place is just full of industrious people, you know. Thank you, Mr. Sumner, for joining us. Stay tuned. Hold on. We'll be right back.
Why? Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
But what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave this boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, John Bolt gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. I have Mr. Edison Sumner, chair of the National Productivity Task Force, joining us this morning. We're talking about the National Productivity Council Stakeholder Survey. It has been open to the public, and we want as many people as possible to participate in the survey. We're aiming for as high as possible. 1,000 participants is great. 4,000 participants hits roughly our 1% mark of population participating, and so we're aiming for 4,000 or more. We want to get the word out to people about the survey and where they can find it. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
All right. And so we can find the survey on the task force's social media platforms?
Yes. If you go on to Facebook, look for Bahamas National Productivity Task Force. You will see us there. You will see the large barcode or QR code there for the survey. Mm-hmm. There are other details on the Facebook page as well. You'll also find us on Instagram. We are currently working on developing the website, so that's not quite ready yet.
Okay.
Again, bearing in mind, we're only a couple of weeks old. So we're building out a website, which we hope to be ready very, very shortly. But anyone can go on to the Facebook page, scan the code, and it takes you directly to the survey that you're able to complete. And the survey itself takes an average of about 8 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not very long, but the details that we get back from you is very rich. And it will be very, very useful to us in determining how we build out this infrastructure.
All right. Mr. Sumner, I get a call. I think it may be the same person calling back repeatedly. We're going to take this call, and then I get one more question to ask, and I will let you go. I know I've interrupted your day. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Morning.
That's a good question, Mr. Neary asked. Good morning, Mr. Sumner.
Morning, sir.
Okay. Mr. Sumner, the question in my mind is, why would something important and serious as this be shelved by any incoming government? That's just a question.
That's a question for me, though. You can't ask that to Mr. Sumner, but you could ask me that. You know, you could answer
it. I was just thinking it out loud.
Yeah, good.
I was saying,
I like it.
The answer, you like it?
Yeah, I like your question. What happened?
Just like how I like, not just Page Arena, but Moringa and Sorosi.
That's right.
Yeah, but, Mr. Sumner, the answer would you give, I think it's a good answer. I'm not sure you said it. It sounded like you said it when you mentioned about this was started from 10 years ago. So I was wondering, like, if it implemented or not. I hear you say about the cabinet and all that stuff. So this time around, like how you're saying, if things go well, it'll be a legislation ready to go by July 1st next year, if God spare life. So I was wondering if it's appropriate, if you think it's a good idea for you to do either a courtesy call or you invite the, some people say the incoming prime minister or the political party for the leader of the Free National Movement, maybe the COI too.
Do you think
the unions have anything to do with this concern, or do you need any suggestions or them to be a part of this? Because this sounds like this is a serious thing. Why not... I know people that break these MOUs, right? Memorandum of Understanding, but maybe you could sign an MOU maybe with the union leaders, or you mentioned the civil society, and like I say, the incoming prime minister or the leader of the Free National Movement also. So when they get inside there, they have no excuse to, but the push is because the Bahamian people from all different sides or color or whatever, we support it. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Mr. Sumner. If I could also kind of reframe the questions, the first part, is the task force prepared to engage organizations like political parties or branches, constituency branches, NGOs, civil society actors, the chamber? I mean, I know the Chamber of Commerce is a part of the discussion, right? Already they're part of the board. But can the task force at this point extend an opportunity to meet with groups to explain the work of the task force and the survey and the importance of taking the survey? And then
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a part of our current mandate and our work plan, right? The idea is to have as widespread a consultation as possible. As I mentioned earlier, the political directorate is a very, very important part of this conversation. So we do have plans to meet with the political organizations that have been identified, the Free National Movement, the Coalition for Independence, the Progressive Liberal Party, as a political organization, as well as members of the government, mm-hmm. meaning the cabinet. At some point, we expect to make a presentation to them as well. We are prepared to meet with other groups, whether it's in civil society, whether it's academia, whether even community groups, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's a community group, a neighborhood watch group that says, hey, we want you to come and talk to us. We've got a number of members who have some great ideas and want to hear what's happening, then we'd be glad to schedule those into our schedule of stakeholder engagements. The first question he asked is about, you know, why I thought this was shelved the first time. I think you just happened to have been a victim of timing and circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. The government will tell you that they've got a very, very long list of items that are on their agenda that needs to be processed through the various government agencies. This was a mandate that the government of the Bahamas signed on to with the International Labor Organization as it relates to the Decent Country Work Program. A part of that has to do with building out a national productivity infrastructure. So I was engaged by the government to start this work or to continue with some of this work back in 2019. We had already spent a couple of years doing some of the initial field work and groundwork on this. So in 2019, I was engaged by the government and the ILO and the National Tripartite Council.
Yes, sir.
To conduct some of the work. We did the work. I submitted my final report after our initial stakeholder engagements, and we literally went across the country doing this work. So this is not the first time we're at this, which is why I'm so passionate about this. We presented that work to the government near the end of 2019, early 2020. And then, of course, we came upon COVID. COVID shifted everybody's attention away from what the normal was. Mm-hmm. After COVID, then we came upon the general elections, which again had its own level and set of distractions. So that was the reason I think that we got caught in that transition with two very major issues that we were dealing with. Then, of course, we also had the dealing with the aftermath of Dorian, which mm-hmm. also sort of threw a lot of people's attention away from some of the normal workings that were going on at the time. I am pleased, though, very, very pleased that it's back on the agenda. As I explained to the minister and others in having this conversation, we are as far now in this process as we have ever been. Right? We've never been this far before. So now that we are pushing this and we are as far as we are, then it is my intention to drive this through to the finish line, at least get the work of the task force completed within the time frame that we have established. Once we're done, we're going to hand this work over to the council Some of the members who are currently sitting may also form part of the council. We don't know. The government will make that determination. Mm-hmm. So that when they get this work from us, that work would have included a influence from pretty much every sphere of our economy, every sphere of our society, so that when this is presented again as a council, it's going to take no one by surprise.
Absolutely. Right?
And people will be very pleased to see some of their ideas incorporated into the infrastructure and the framework of the council once we get this established. And right. I'd also say, Aaron, that apart from the tasks from the survey that we have out now for public consumption and feedback, we also intend to present copies of the legislation for their mm-hmm. review after we get feedback from the government. And we also intend to present copy of the strategic plan, the operations plan, and the budget. All of this is going to be done in the highest level of transparency as we can afford, put out there for the public so that they also have an input into how the council looks, how it operates, what its mandate ought to be, and also being able to influence what may be going into the draft legislation. So once we get those notes back from the government, giving us their concerns or ideas or comments or red lines on what we've already presented to them mm-hmm. as a first draft for their consideration, we then incorporate those ideas into the draft. We then take that draft out to the public for them to give us their feedback on the legislation to establish this council.
Okay.
And in doing so, we will also, like I said, present to our stakeholders draft copies of the strategic plan mm-hmm. so that not only are we holding ourselves accountable for the work we're doing, but we are also inviting our stakeholders to watch us, right? Watch the council, watch the task force, and to hold us accountable as well, because whatever we do will have inherently have an impact on the operations across the entire country. So it's very important for us to get this right and to get as many people involved as possible in this work on the national level.
People and raccoons. Listen, I have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Thank you for your patience. Good morning, caller. You still there? Sorry we missed you, caller. Okay, so I took the survey a few days ago, and I just wanted to add something, well, to share with you now that I have you on air. Things for consideration in the work going forward: traffic management and its intersection mm-hmm. with productivity.
Yes.
And then more cultural considerations, the framing of quality over quantity mm-hmm. in consideration of productivity, impact versus intent, productivity and labor rights, and that's been incorporated but not necessarily framed in that way, and then productivity and culture, right? The thing that I'm most interested in is how our cultural behavior and our beliefs drive our productivity or lack thereof, right? I think that's going to be a big space, and the space I'm most excited to engage in. But we have one more caller before we end the show. Oh,
okay.
Caller disappeared. I'm sorry, caller. We were right there.
Well, let me respond to your questions quickly while you get that caller sorted.
Yes.
So you raised some very, very pertinent points, all of which we are taking into consideration. I've got my admin assistant, executive assistant listening in on the call, so they're taking notes as we speak. So nothing is going unnoticed, right? No mm-hmm. matter how large the idea is or how small people think the idea is, we are taking record of everything, right? Because there's value in everything we do. So we're looking at the culture in our country, but one even more important than that, or equally as important, I should say, would become the culture of productivity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just in our national cultures and the things we do or the things we love to do, but now we want to ingrain a culture of productivity, meaning that we become very, very intentional in how we do things now when we can improve on our level of productivity outputs. We want to be very intentional in how we deal with our customers coming into our establishments. We want to be very intentional about streamlining our processes so that things that can be done more easily via digital application can be done. Digital transformation, we're looking at that in a very, very significant way. So the whole idea is that in 5 years, and part of the one of the questions in the survey asked, one of the departments asked a question, when do you expect the Productivity Council to begin producing results? And so far, looking at it, the overwhelming response is we don't expect to see any tangible results until between years 3 and 5. So our strategic plan is lined up with those expectations already. But we're expecting that at the end of the five-year period, when we do our five-year assessment and we look at the measurement of productivity between 2026 and, say, 2030, 2031, we expect to see a noticeable difference and improvements in how things are done as far as processes, policies. You talked about the traffic management system. That's a big part of what we're doing. So we're putting people in place who can advise on reviewing that. But I'll also say this. We're also going to be very much aligned with the National Development Plan Secretariat. I accepted a role there to chair one of the subcommittees that has to do with productivity and skills development. So there's going to be some fantastic alignment with the National Development Plan as well, and making sure that we're not duplicating efforts, but we are just consolidating and supporting and leveraging what we have already in existence today. So all of this is coming together, and it's going to be, you know, one big mix of ideas and initiatives and innovations and creativity coming together to make not only the country more competitive, not only make the country more innovative and productive, but our work will also expand into the private sector, because the private sector have issues with our productivity. We don't know how to get it done properly. We need someone independent to come in to advise us on certain things where we don't have to spend half our budget to get it done. So the working of this council is also going to be where they are going to be generating its own revenue sources through providing services to private sector enterprises as well in helping them build out their productivity infrastructure, the innovation cultures within those organizations.
Absolutely.
So we're not going to be relying solely on government interventions and government funding. We do have plans in place to raise revenue for the council through self-help as well.
All right, 1 second. Producer, could you give me, we lost the caller as well. Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we get back from the break, sir, Mr. Nuri has a question for you. And then we're going to transition. This has been such a productive conversation.
I don't want to leave.
I could be honest with you. I had planned on all kinds of unproductive foolishness talking today. But I'm glad that we are investing our time in something of national importance. We're going to a break. We will be right back. You guys stay tuned. You're on the clock with Aaron Green.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before. And you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I know I promised you all kinds of conversation in this show today, but I think we have in one of the most important conversations we could have, which is about the work of the National Productivity Task Force, and in particular, the National Productivity Council Stakeholder Survey that is currently moving through the country, and the task force is asking Bahamians to please participate and fill out the survey. Sir, just before the break, Mr. Nuri had a question. He's allowing me, I think, to reframe it, or to frame it, to be considered, something for consideration in the task force's work and engagement with the public, is the framing of...
If you can hear me, I think your mic went on mute.
All right, here we go. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, sir?
I can hear you now, yes.
All right, there we go. The question of productivity and wages, compensation, right? And I think of that both as a technical, there are technical formulas for determining wages, right, and wages and productivity, but also I think about cultural imperialism and productivity and the expectation of compensation, right? And are we framing or rooting our expectations in reality in terms of what compensation looks like in a small island developing state with a changing economic model, with the rapid and unstable changing of the global environment, the consideration of productivity, labor, and compensation expectations?
Believe it or not, Erin, in assessing some of the responses that we've had to date, compensation was not the most significant factor in productivity,
mm-hmm.
right? Based on the majority of those who've already responded, compensation is a part of it. But so far, the major issue that has been expressed to us in the survey by an overwhelming majority is that they're concerned about their work environments. There was not even... job security was not even the number one issue.
Mm-hmm.
The number one issue so far being expressed is that of working conditions. Am I working in the right environment? Am I working with the right people? Do I have the right leadership over me? Is the work environment conducive for me to become productive?
Yeah.
Salaries and compensation was not the most outstanding reason for there being a lack of productivity,
yeah.
Which means that if the worker or those who are in the various systems across the country, if we are getting the tools that we need to become more productive, if we have the systems in place to make the processes that we go through, whether it's in business, government services, whatever, if the processes were more seamless, where they were more efficient, the compensation that people get, they are saying to us in the survey so far that, listen, we can work with what we have, but if we can lower the level of stress in the workplace, mm-hmm. if we can improve on the systems and the processes that we're dealing with, then we can work with the compensation. But it's also an indication that if we improve the systems and processes, if we improve the working conditions, if we improve the work environment, then we are likely to generate more revenue for our establishments. And if we do that, be more productive, then the compensation will come, right? So there isn't a case where there's this heavy concentration on our compensation, understanding that if we improve the situation, then we can improve the compensation, but it shouldn't be the other way around, where we're going to only respond if we get paid, or we're going to respond how we get paid. But the situation, based on the responses we've seen so far, is let's improve the situation and the compensation will come, right? It will coincide with the level of improvements in the productive output of individuals, of organizations, of our society as a whole. So it was very interesting to see that piece of data that came back to us, that compensation was not the most important thing when it comes to productive output.
All right. Mr. Sumner, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Again, Mr. Edison Sumner, Chair of the National Productivity Task Force. You guys, you go online, look for the National Productivity Council Stakeholder Survey. Fill it out. Share it with your people. Share it in your organizations. Let's get as many responses as possible to aid the work of the task force and ultimately the creation of the Bahamas Productivity, Innovation, and Competitiveness Council. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. And just so you know, while we were talking, we've gotten almost 50 responses in this conversation alone. So thank you very much. Your support is now showing to be very tangible.
Absolutely. And considering I was only going to go crack jokes at the headlines all morning, I'm really appreciative that we could fill this space with this conversation. Thank you,
Absolutely.
Sir.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Good, good. Now, on to the most important question. Nuri, you're back.
I am back. It's good to be back.
You see how I did that, though? I tell you it was a question, but you see how I frame it?
Yes.
I may possibly run.
You could run.
I mean, I can run.
Yes.
Very well.
That's good.
Do you ever see me run from raccoon?
I've seen you jog.
I fast. You mean because the raccoon wasn't there?
Fast is relative.
When the raccoon is there, I very fast.
Yes. I saw you with a frog and how you sprint before.
Yeah.
That's a different type of running.
I'm telling you, these people don't know. It's about the motivation. Yes. It's always about the motivation.
Yes.
Listen, the headlines today, I always thought he was a Canadian. Cooper questions Rick Fox's nationality.
Rick Fox is not Canadian?
You didn't see the video with him with the driver's license and all the Bahamian documents?
I've seen Canadians with driver's
license. You didn't see Antoine Swing the third ask him if he have a Bahamian bank account?
I thought Antoine Swing was his cousin.
Possibly.
There you go, there really.
But I know Antoine Swing is a Bahamian.
Yes, he is Bahamian.
Which is what he's saying.
Good, true.
Anyway, so the conversation this morning I had set up, we're going to go through it just because we got a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But headlines. Tonight, Equality Bahamas hosts a conversation with author Soraya Chimali on her book. The session is called Reclaiming Power. The book is called All We Want Is Everything. 6 p.m. tonight via Zoom. Equality Bahamas.
So who is that exactly? So say her name again, I'm sorry.
Soraya Chimali. She's an author. I think she's maybe Latin American, person of color. She's written a number of books themed around rights, women's rights, gender, understanding what men need and what women need, right? Last year, she was featured with her book, Resilience is a Myth. Mm-hmm. It's like anti-resilience because resilience is a myth. And this one, I think, is going to be a really exciting conversation.
Okay, where is it going to be held again?
Online. On Zoom, okay. Right? And then also tonight at the University of the Bahamas Harry Seymour Library, 7 p.m., a very, very important conversation as well. The real cost of alcohol. The title just gets me because we don't really think about the real cost of the things that we engage in, right? But the real cost of alcohol tonight, 7 p.m., at UB Harry Seymour Library. They had some. I had some more headlines, so here's the text. So Aaron, now the feminist groups are admitting that they want everything. But what happened, Texter? Of course we want everything. You want everything. Everybody wants everything that they could have. What's wrong with that? It's like y'all don't want women to have anything. You don't even want them to dream. They can't even dream of being safe. They can't even dream of joy and happiness. It's just the same way y'all treat the children, you know. The children can't even think of things. Your children don't even think of nice things. You don't deserve it. Anyway, the truth is if we can create a framework where we can all be productive and what we can contribute is valued, right, then everybody could have some things. All we want is everything. You know how I know? Because all my producer want is Junkanoo. See how it sounds? All we want is everything. Junkanoo is all they want is bae. And everything. Mm-hmm. Be good with that. You guys, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. The C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.